97.9 FM, WCHL, and chapelboro.com present Today's Business with Sharon Hill. Listen as Sharon Hill discusses trending topics in today's business world with entrepreneurs and leaders in the community and what they're doing to provide innovation and guidance for success. Find this and all episodes at WCHL's chapelboro.com. Now, Today's Business with Sharon Hill on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thank you for tuning in today to Today's Business. My guest today is Mr. Steve Wilson, the Raleigh dog trainer. Steve, thank you for coming in.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here, Steve. Steve, who is the Raleigh dog trainer?
Who is the Raleigh dog trainer?
Yes.
Well, first, Sharon, I'd like to start off by thanking you again for having me on the show. I've known you for approximately 56 dog years. So not only are you a good friend, but you're a tremendous, kind-hearted person.
Well,
so
thank you, Steve.
We appreciate you having us on. You know, my first dog was a collie when I was 4 years old. My mom was part golden retriever, and my dad was a full-blown German shepherd. So ever since then, dogs have really been my very best friend.
So you are the dog trainer.
Yes, actually, dogs have taught me everything I know. So I tell people, I really teach dogs how to train their owners in the convenience of their own home without costing them a lot of dog bones.
Right? That's the whole thing.
Because Sharon, up to about, say, 65% of the training is the owners. The dogs get it really right away. So it's not rocket surgery, but it's probably new to the average dog lover. And even some dog trainers, too, I might
really?
Say. So I should probably preempt everything by saying this to you. If you want to see a really good kitty cat fight, get a bunch of dog trainers in the same room. We won't agree on anything other than the love of dogs.
Really?
So everybody's different. You know, we just don't necessarily drink from the same bowl, if you know what I mean.
But why is that, Steve? Aren't there certain rules that everybody follows for dog training?
Well, let's say this. I don't use treats or those annoying clickers. I don't use shock or prong or choke chains or gentle leaders. No crazy gizmos or gadgets are ever needed. Because everything I'm going to teach the client is communication-based. Because every relationship, whether it's human or canine, is the quality of that relationship is really based on communication.
Right.
So the first time I meet a client, I ask them to give me a couple of hours of their time. And whoever's willing to participate is certainly welcome. And I really don't care if they have one dog or 10 dogs. It's all the same. Even though no two dogs or humans are alike, I'm a true believer that God only made one of that animal, and he really made that dog specifically for that person.
Would you say you're a dog whisperer?
You know, that's a when people say that to me, I really take that as an extreme compliment because there really is only one dog whisperer, so to speak,
yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
But yes, it is communication-based, so you might say a dog whisperer approach to the training because, you know, dogs are experts at watching people. And up to about 92% of what they do is based on a cue from your body language, not necessarily a verbal command.
All right.
So I think in some cases, if dogs could talk, because they're the only creature I know of on God's green earth, where we would say, Sharon, 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 sit. Who else? They repeat their name as if it's a command multiple times before we actually tell them what we want them to do. So I'll be the first to raise my paw. I'm not the perfect dog owner. I'm human just like everybody else. But I only want to say their name once in a positive way and then tell the dog what it is I want them to do. In some cases, Sharon, I think if dogs could talk, maybe the first two words they might say, shut up. They hear us. In fact, they heard us the first time. And in fact, they hear way better than us. Each eardrum has over 15 different muscles. So they heard you the first time.
So you're saying to those dog trainers who train saying the dog's name, Sharon, 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 don't do that. Your process has it once.
Yeah, just say their name once. They heard you.
And then the command.
And then whatever it is you'd like the dog to do.
Yeah.
I think it's important to know how to correct a dog, but equally as important to know how to praise a dog. So let me give you an example. If I said to a dog, come, and he gets all the way to me and I say, good boy, his tail will wag and he'll say, oh, thanks, Steve. You called me over here to tell me I'm a good boy. So what I recommend is or suggest is this. When I say the dog's name once and come, the second they move 1 inch, I pay them. I say, good boy, the whole way to me.
Oh.
That way the dog will realize, this behavior makes you happy. I'll repeat that behavior for the on-time praise.
Got it.
All right.
My goodness.
Now, the praise is important, meaning I like it to come from the heart. So, Sharon, if your husband said to you, I love you, Sharon. Mm-hmm. I love you, Sharon. 50 times a day, one day you might say, Shut up. All right?
Right.
But if your husband said to you, I love you, Sharon, you could listen to that music all day long because it comes from his heart versus the high heavens.
Right.
So I'm not saying never baby talk the dog, but when they're working for you, I want it to come from your heart so they know that behavior right there makes you heartfelt happy.
Okay.
All right. Does that make sense?
That's rich information, sure.
Right. A couple of dog tips. One is, especially dogs are going to spend more time outside, you know, when the weather's nicer. So every dog collar deserves a name tag with a phone number or two. That way, if your pet ever got separated or lost from you, there's an easy way for somebody to track you down and get your best friend back to you in a hurry. Another suggestion would be on the inside of that collar, take a permanent marker and write your phone number down there.
Ah.
That way, in case that tag ever became separated, you'd have another plan of identification for somebody to call you on the phone and, again, get you back your best friend as fast as possible.
Yes.
The microchip is plan B. You know, there's no guarantees with a microchip, but, you know, if there was a dog that got separated without a collar on, then that's a prayer that they'll come back to you.
Okay.
But never a guarantee or a speedy return to you when it's just relying on a microchip.
Right.
So the name tag on the collar is your first bet.
Name tag on the collar.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay. In fact, it even says something on the inside of my collar. If lost, please return to. So, you know, that way if I ever get lost, I won't be in a shelter somewhere waiting for you to pick me up.
Steve, let's get your contact information, please, with the last 30 seconds that we have for this segment.
Okay. My contact is 1-900. No, I'm only kidding.
Oh.
No 900. I'll never charge you to talk to me. In fact, I'll talk to anyone for free.
Okay.
So a good way to start is on the phone, 919-600-1146.
Say it one more time.
919-600-1146. And the website, theRaleighDogTrainer.com. It's always a good idea to start on a website and then talk to me. That way you kind of know the type of training that I do. You get to read some of the testimonials that my mom wrote. And, you know, it's a good way to get an idea what type of dog trainer I actually am.
Steve, on that note, let's take a break and come back and hear some more about the Raleigh Dog Trainer.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. You're listening to WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. My guest today is the amazing Steve Wilson, the Raleigh Dog Trainer. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. We're back. My guest today is Steve Wilson, the Raleigh Dog Trainer. Steve, you're called the Raleigh Dog Trainer, but two questions. What areas do you really cover? And secondly, what dogs do you like to work with?
Actually, Sharon, I'm going to share a little secret with you. The Raleigh Dog Trainer lives in Chapel Hill. So I go everywhere, really. I serve all dog lovers. I don't care where you live. And I pretty much base my rates on how somebody got their dog. I'm always looking for those dogs been bounced around a bunch of times. And secondly, how much gas it takes for me to fly or drive to you. So the first time I meet a family, I ask them to give me generous time, a couple of hours. And I also say this to them, don't take it the wrong way. But in most cases, up to, say, about 65% of the training is the owners. The dogs get it really pretty quickly. They're really smart.
The dogs are
I've
smart.
Never met a dumb dog. I've met a couple mean ones, but I've never met a dumb dog. They are smarter than the average person realizes.
Yeah.
Right? So I do it 7 days a week. And typically, there's only one thing that can stop us. Rain. If it's raining, again, I want to make the most out of our time. I'll simply reschedule.
Oh,
because we're going to do some outside work as well as some inside work. But I'm a true believer that good canine manners start at home. That's where a dog spends most of their life anyway.
Right.
So that's really the best place to start. Just like kids, you know, they learn at home, then take it to school.
Yes.
But if we want them to learn at school and bring it home, we could be in for a disappointment.
But Steve, what about these dogs who were mistreated as puppies? You must see those. Are they still as easy to train as one who's not been abused?
You know, just like us, we can all have some scars from life, depending on how old we were, and we'll have a different impact on the animal. But from obedience, I hate to use that word obedience because it's really relationship training. Because a dog lives in the moment. So, you know, all the reason why we want to praise them on time and certainly correct them on time. So the one word I suggest to my clients to completely eliminate from their training and communication is the most overly abused word in the English vocabulary. No.
Oh.
By the second time somebody says no, everybody knows that person means business.
Right.
And a dog will mirror our energy. You know, when we're happy, so is the dog. Little tail wags left and right. When we're sad, the dog knows something's up. Even when we're sick, the dog can know something's up. So they're very much in tune with our energy and our body language.
Yeah.
And most of what they do is going to be based on that. So, you know, years ago, when a dog peed or pooped in the house, they'd rub their nose in it. You know, and my mom used to smoke in the grocery store. We don't do that anymore. So it's really kind of old school. The things that we learned many years ago really don't apply to the relationship of a dog today.
Goodness.
So for the corrections, I asked them to be the energy of a tap on the shoulder, a sound, a click of a finger. Psst. And when I give that correction, I want to give a direction. Don't do that. Do this.
Oh.
Because if I said to a dog or human, don't do that, it's kind of like a cliffhanger. What do you want me to do?
Oh.
So I don't want them to think they're in trouble. It's just really just the power of suggestion. Don't do that. Do this.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if I'm going to give a dog a correction, let's just say they drink your last beer. All right. So rather than scold the dog, I'm going to say, put that beer down. When he puts that beer down, I don't say, good boy. He'll ask, wonder, how did I get that praise? Oh, yeah, I grab your beer.
Yeah.
I put it down. You say, good boy. I'll repeat that behavior for the praise. So if it's a jump or whatever it might be, any type of behavior that you don't want, just give that correction and direction and no praise.
What about dogs who pull on the leash and actually they're walking their owner?
Oh, I love that. I actually love that. You know, when I talk to a client for the first time, and I'd say the average conversation is about 35 minutes, so I can find out everything they think they know about their dog. And honestly, I'm a little disappointed if they tell me their dog walks perfect on a leash. I'd rather have him be the worst puller in the world. Because that way, when I get there and I tell them this over the phone, I'm going to show you a different dog the very first time I meet you.
Wow.
Because the leash is never a restraint between you and the dog. It is actually a link. It makes you and dog one.
One, okay.
So usually in the first 15 seconds, I can show you a different dog on the leash.
15 seconds, Steve?
Yep.
Wow.
So it's all about the leadership role that you have to a dog, because everyone will follow a leader, no questions asked. So you're not the boss. Everybody can't wait to quit the boss. So you're not the alpha. I know you'll read that stuff on the internet.
Yeah.
Now, who wants to hang around with an alpha?
Right.
All right. But you can be the leader to a dog because, again, little follow a leader, no questions asked. And it creates a healthy relationship.
You know,
where the dog wants
to
be with you. And most importantly, a dog wants to please you.
Steve, you said that the dogs are pretty smart. What do you do with that 35% owner who's just difficult for you to deal with?
You know, I just tell the owners, because that really is probably the biggest challenge. It's not so much the dogs. It's the getting the owners, because I make it look simple, really easy. And it's kind of like when you get on the bike for the first time, the bicycle for the first time, you're looking down, you're nervous, the bike's shaking, you're wondering if you're going to fall over, and it's hard for you to relax. So the first thing I try and get the client to do is to relax. Just to relax, and no tension, no bending your elbow, no pulling, because the bad news is God made us so we bend our elbow with every single thing we do without even thinking about it. So it's just a slight vibration on that collar and you moving forward and praising the dog the second they move that creates a different leash walk.
Uh-huh.
So you're kind of multitasking. And so, you know, the first time it takes some practice, some patience, and some on-time praise. But I never want it to feel like homework to the dog or the owner. So it's not about how far you walk the dog. It's about what we do. I had a client tell me one time, I went for a 2.5-hour leash walk with my dog. I asked her, did your car break down or you run out of gas? Right? And she fired back, my vet said to exercise this working dog as much as possible. I said, here's the real deal. You're simply building up that dog's endurance. Maybe next week you'll be up to a 3-hour walk. All right? Because in 10 minutes, I can wear them out mentally like they went for a 20-mile walk. So it's just like us. We can lay in bed physically exhausted, but our brain is still going 100 miles an hour, right? We're worried about yesterday or thinking about tomorrow or something that happened today.
Yes.
So with a dog, when I wear them out mentally in a really short amount of time, a tired dog is a happy dog.
Steve, give us your contact information one more time, please.
Sure. It's theRileyDogTrainer.com and 7 days a week, 919-600-1146.
Steve, time for a break. When we come back, let's hear some more about the Raleigh Dog Trainer.
Right, that's
thank you. You're listening to 97.9 WCHL. My guest today is Steve Wilson, the Raleigh Dog Trainer. You've got to stay with us to hear more. We'll be right back. We are back. My guest today is Steve Wilson, the Raleigh Dog Trainer. Steve, you've given us so much information. What is the hardest thing about owning a dog?
Actually, the hardest part about owning a dog, believe it or not, is puppyhood. So, you know, the number one reason people bring home that puppy is cute. The number one reason people give up on that puppy in the first 5 months of ownership is house training.
Oh, boy.
And realize this, the quality of the food and the quantity of the food can make a big difference in that house training. And we take that dog outside if we don't communicate, like, hurry up or go potty. Last week I heard, make a stinky poo. Whatever it is the owner wants to say to their dog, I have no problem with that. But we want to be consistent. So if we ask the dog to go to the bathroom and then repraise them 1 second into it, good boy, they'll look at you like, really?
That was good.
Okay. All right. I'll repeat this behavior. So, and they're creatures of habit. They'll go to the same spot. You know, you don't necessarily have to start out with a puppy. You know, in this country, at least, we put down a dog or a cat 1 every 8 seconds, not because they're a bad pet.
Oh.
It's because they don't have a home.
Yeah.
So if you look at the rescue groups or a shelter or, you know, a private individual that just can't keep the dog for whatever reason, between my 4 dogs, they had 10 previous homes. So I never judge. It's not about that. I just say thank you because I got 4 great dogs out of it. I recently had a client that she's been married 11 years and she begged her husband every Christmas for that puppy. He surprised her last Thanksgiving with a golden retriever. As it turns out, he has a severe allergy to the dog.
Oh, dear.
So now she's got no choice. She's looking to rehome her husband.
That.
But I tell people, don't give up. You know, in fact, it's a good idea to start before you bring home the dog. Talk to a professional trainer.
They can
give you some tips on how to transition the dog into the home, accelerate the trust, and make the best relationship between you and the dog. So if you can't own 10 dogs, hey, why not own 1 dog that's a 10?
That's a 10, yes. Steve, you make it sound like any breed of dog is all the same, that they are the... like people, different temperaments, but
correct.
I haven't heard you say like pit bulls are worse than collies. They're all the same as far as training is concerned?
Yeah, well, there's, you know, every dog's his own individual. You know, there's some similarities like us. I'm a Taurus, you know, so I got some certain characteristics of that, but, you know, they're all different. So you learn their personality and, you know, what type of dog they are, but the training and the communication techniques are really similar. They're really,
really similar.
You know, it's new, but...
I wish we had more time, Steve. Give us your contact information one more time.
Well, before we go, I'd love to get a bark out to my twin sister, Jeannie. You know, she slipped and broke her arm just above her shoulder right before Christmas, so she's still in a lot of pain.
Ooh.
So, Jeannie, we love you and we pray for you every day.
Yes.
My older sister and brother, Alan and Mary, I want to give you a shout-out to you, Mom and Dad. And I want to give a special shout-out to the Chapel Hill Leeds group,
yes,
a great group of people there. And, of course, the Shaco family, hello. And, of course, my 4 dogs, Tanner, Shadow, Tucker, and Charlie. I know you're listening, so I want to give a bark out to them too. Contact is theRileyDogTrainer.com, 919-600-1146, 7 days a week.
Steve, I think you must be setting a record for today's business. This has been one of the most delightful interviews I've ever had.
You're making my tail wag, Sharon.
Steve, thank you for coming to see us today, Steve.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You've been listening to WCHL 97.9 FM, 1360 AM. My guest has been the wonderful Steve Wilson, the Raleigh dog trainer. Please give him a call, and thank you for listening.